What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Getting closer to that big day, that day they call Christmas, December 25th.
Santa Claus is coming.
Thank you. Coming to town, and NHL is still going. Going to be a little bit quieter after the next few days, of course, going into the break and the roster freeze and all that type of thing. But still, there's plenty to dissect. So we're back, Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. I won't go through all these socials, but I will say this. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. We're going to go west in a second. East, though, lots to get into. Philly, Detroit. Boy, that Patrick Kane thing's really working out well.
I have a lot to say about that. But okay. First, we have to start with the latest fire.
Ryan, if you had told me, it's
December 20th. We should say that it's Wednesday, December 20th, around lunchtime, nearing lunchtime.
Right.
And if you had told me that five coaches would be fired by this point in the season, I would have been surprised. I think shocked is maybe overplaying it a little bit, but I definitely would have been surprised. And then if I had to guess who they were, I probably would have went 3 for 5, to be honest, because some of the firings weren't all that surprising. I didn't have Dean Evason on my bingo card, but the rest of them, I think you basically could have seen coming forward. And I suppose nobody can be surprised at all about DJ Smith being let go by the Ottawa Senators because they have been fumbling so badly of late. The weekend was a complete disaster, but I know you have a lot of thoughts on the process and how it all unfolded.
Yeah, I do. You and I talked one of the last pods we did, or maybe actually a few weeks ago, and I remember saying to you, I was adamant about they are not going to let DJ Smith go. They're not going to fire DJ Smith. And at that point, Ottawa was not doing anything great. They were doing more of things kind of mediocre and some very bad. But I thought, okay, the expectations of the Sens, fine. Everybody, all 32 teams have expectations. Some have higher, some have lower, based on how the team is and how talented they are. But at that point, a few weeks back, I didn't think anything was going to happen. The moment Jacques Martin was brought back into the fold, the first thing I thought about was, next step, he's going to be behind the bench. Steve Staios made it quite clear, this has nothing to do with Jacques coming back to head coach and get back in the coaching. Nothing to do with that. Give me a break.
Well, he was hired as a consultant.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He could be hired to throw like t-shirts in the stands when you're home. It doesn't matter. This was absolutely planned. And I guarantee you when DJ Smith heard this news as well, he probably thought, well, I'm out at some point very soon because they wouldn't have done this. Why then was he hired at this point to assist DJ Smith? Well, you're not happy with DJ Smith. You're not happy with the team. So why do you bring somebody in who used to be a head coach in Ottawa, a legend as a coach with the Sens? Why would you bring somebody in to assist your head coach that you know you're going to let go and replace them with the one you just got in as a special advisor?
To consult.
Stop. Consult this, Steve Staios. That you know what? You may agree, may not, but I just think this was all in the plans. And whenever this stuff happens, you mentioned the firings in the NHL. So this was the fifth, correct? You said this is the fifth. Of the four before, nothing of the four before had this with it. Somebody coming. Now I know the Knobloch thing with Edmonton, he's friends with McDavid and a whole bunch of stuff. They all have ties like that thing, but it just smelt to me like something that was ready to go before it happened. And I don't think they handled it the right way. He was going to go at some point. I believe he was, but okay, if this was the case, then talk to Jacques weeks ago. Say, hey, you know what? Would you be interested in something like this?
And but that's what happened in Vancouver with Bruce Boudreau last year, and we didn't like that either. No. I don't think there's a winning formula here, to be honest. I don't know what Steve Staios does in this situation when he wants to bring somebody in. I'll say this, too. I don't think DJ Smith is fired if he wins every single game after Jacques Martin is brought on as a consultant either. I think there still would have been an audition period. The last time we did this podcast, we talked, first of all, we made Jacques Martin pushing 80, which was unfair. He's only 71 years old. So, and we said, but he's not interested in doing this. And they're still, the Ottawa Senators are still insisting that he is not interested in this job long term. So he is being brought in. This isn't the Rick Tocchet situation in Vancouver at all.
That's fine.
All right. So they're bringing him as a band-aid. He's here to bridge a gap until they can figure out. First of all, they also need a GM. So what has to happen? This is a chicken egg thing right now in Ottawa, right? Yeah. The management has to make some decisions here big time. Ownership has to make some decisions here big time. So, but yes, I think basically what offends you, offends me, and offends the rest of fans in the NHL, Ottawa Senators fans and what have you, is we don't like being lied to. And it feels like we were lied to when Steve Staios came out last week and said he's just consulting. There is no threat to DJ Smith's job. But I will say this, Ryan, they had to fire him.
They did.
Absolutely horrible. That weekend, when did I text you? I texted you very late on Sunday night.
Said, just to let you know a couple things, and he was one early this week. Yeah. And boom. Yeah. And then you came over, you walked in the door here, and you said, I said, hey, guess, really? 20 minutes ago. Wow. There you go. I agree. And something had to be done. Totally get it. I just don't like, and anybody can do whatever they want. Steve Staios in the organization can do whatever they want. They can handle things however they want to handle them. It just wasn't the right way.
But moving on, we didn't get the fresh coach bump with Jacques Martin behind the bench because he coached his first game for the Ottawa Senators on Tuesday night. They played, they had a 3-goal lead, looked completely in control, totally blew it. And let's actually play this now. This is Claude Giroux. So this is a veteran of the league who's been around a very long time, who is not a hysterical human being. I think we can safely say that. And this is how he characterized his team before DJ Smith was fired.
I don't like to use this this word, but I think we're a little fragile. I think when something happens, it's we just have to just relax and keep playing. We know we can play with these teams. We know we can compete. It's just we need to just find a way to do it. 60 minutes, and I think in Dallas we did that. We gave ourselves a chance to win, and that's all we can ask for.
You don't want to hear that F word. You don't want to hear your team described as fragile.
I think that is
probably one of the most, other than weak, I think fragile is right up there with the ultimate insult when it comes to a game of gladiators playing on ice.
Yeah, you know what? That's very well said. And when you're fragile in the game of hockey or in any sport, let's just talk about the game of hockey because that's what this podcast is about. You are so terrified about making a mistake, even a small mistake, because then it's going to lead to this and lead to that and lead to that. And then you're going to get the head coach being wanted out and the team's going to lose. The team is still not, look, are they going to turn things around? I don't think they are. I doubt it. Edmonton did. Now they've kind of fallen back a tiny bit when Knobloch came in to replace Jay Woodcroft. But at the same time, I want more from Ottawa. I do. I know DJ Smith had to go. I get it. I still don't like it.
No, neither do I. And if you go into Mullet Arena like they did on Tuesday night and you have a 3-0 lead heading into the third period against the Arizona Coyotes,
you gotta close
that one out, man. You gotta close that one out. I know Arizona's playing well, but okay. So you know who they have next? This is super
Colorado.
Fun. And now they're traveling to Colorado to play an Avalanche team that is super steamed after, we'll get to them in a minute, after losing to the Blackhawks. So you know what? The light at the end of the tunnel is very dim and it's very far away, but I'm hoping for Ottawa Senators fans, they do manage to turn it around. Maybe Jacques Martin is a magician. We're going to find out soon enough.
To your point about fragility, then we'll move on. Up 3-0. That team, the third, played not to lose. They didn't play to win. They just...
Oh, that's been a big problem for a lot of teams.
Massive.
This season. All right.
So last season we had fire Lindy, and Lindy didn't end up being fired, and the Devils went on to have a pretty successful season. I guess that's, fire DJ Smith. Now they're saying fire Donnie. So Buffalo is in trouble.
Yeah. I think trouble works.
So last night, which would be, again, we're doing this on Wednesday. So last night they lost not 5-4, 9-4. And they lost not to Vegas or Boston, really good teams. Columbus. So I have no problem with the fans saying fire Donnie. Things are not that good in Buffalo. What do you make of it? What
well,
can change?
Well, whenever you lose
can
a hockey
change?
Game, three field goals to two safeties by my quick arithmetic.
That's funny. You're in football mode still.
Yeah. And especially to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I'm not going to say no offense to the Blue Jackets. They have a losing record and they're not the elite in the NHL. One day they probably will be again, but they aren't right now.
Yeah.
So you can't, I mean, you shouldn't lose to that team, not when you're stacked like the Sabres are. And you should not give up 9 goals to that team either. And you cannot lay it all on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, or and they brought in Devin Levi as well, and the combination of the two of them were just left out to dry, and I think everybody realizes that.
Yeah.
So, but this is the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I know that young Russian line, Marchenko and Vronkov, and those guys, they're just on fire right now.
Fantastic.
I don't care. You've got Tage Thompson. You got a boost from getting Jack Quinn back in your lineup for the first time this season. I'm looking at the roster. They're actually healthy now, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that. So it's going to be interesting. This Sabres team, the biggest disappointment in the East, as far as I'm concerned, maybe tied with the Devils, but the Devils are playing better.
Yeah.
But the Sabres are the biggest disappointment right now. And the same thing, they've got a heck of a schedule coming up. And as much as Don Granato was my pick for the Jack Adams to start this season.
He was.
Yes, he was. And
I
that's
did
not,
know that.
Looking too sparkly
no.
right
You
now.
Want to go back there and have a look at what you wrote down that day?
I kind of do, but listen to who do they have now. The next three games.
Yeah.
Maple Leafs are hosting the Maple Leafs, who are annoyed after losing to the Rangers.
Right.
They're visiting the Rangers, one of the best teams. And then they're hosting the Bruins.
Okay. Okay, so look at you laughing. You're so mean. That's an evil laugh. Don Granato.
It's tough.
You're gone.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And if you don't do anything in these three games, I assume something is going to happen. You know, the power play is 27th in the NHL.
And
12
of
90.
Not
it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that. And
no.
when they give up the first goal, I think the team's won 3 times in 19 or 20 games. It's just, I've been pushing Buffalo for at least 2 years, maybe 3.
You're not alone.
You know that. And they've had inconsistent goaltending. I always think too, you know, oh, fire Donnie. Well, you can't get rid of the team and you have to get rid of the head coach and all that type of stuff. This is a huge few games. Not only for Buffalo, but also for the future of Don Granato behind the bench.
And it's tough sledding, too, so we'll see how they make out.
Yeah. Montreal, you happy about the Habs making a little bit of noise? Yes,
I'm happy for Canadiens fans. I'm happy to see
They're not going anywhere.
Pardon me?
They're not going anywhere.
No, they're not. But they're playing some competitive hockey. I think it's fun to watch that young defense come up and contribute more on offense than any other team in the NHL. I think it's neat to tune into a Montreal Canadiens game these days, any evening, and not knowing that the result is an automatic L for Montreal, because it isn't. They're just proving to be competitive. Are they a playoff contender? No, they are not. But they have a winning record right now in the last little while. They're playing some very competitive hockey. Again, I really like their coach. I think we all are fans.
Oh, hands down, absolutely.
So it's just very quickly. It's just nice. It's nice to see them competitive. Just in an East where you still don't know how everything is going to shuffle about, but they're not an automatic W for the opposition. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the last two games wins against Winnipeg, which is no easy task by many teams, and win against the Islanders. They've been playing very well. And then the losses, too, before that to Pittsburgh and Nashville, only by 1 goal, 4-3 and 2-1. So it's not like they've been blown out in the last few games. I'm with you. I like one of my favorite players. I don't think I've ever told you this, Cole Caulfield. I just love watching the guy play.
And
love
he isn't even having that great a season.
I know, exactly. And when you see him play, you just think, man, he can turn it on just that extra notch like a McKinnon, a McDavid. Am I comparing the three? No. But I'm just saying that extra level. And he's just a magician with the puck. But yeah, I'm with you. Good to see Montreal. They're exactly where I thought that they would be. More wins certainly would be appreciated in La Belle Province. Hart Trophy discussion. I want to ask you this quickly. Auston Matthews on pace for 65, close to 70. Had a couple last night. You mentioned the Leafs are ticked off about the loss to the Rangers. They were at home in Toronto. If Matthews puts up 65 or 70 goals, the assists will not be as much. Is he a Hart Trophy winner compared to others who like Kucherov? At the moment,
Kucherov and McKinnon continue to stride the way they are right now in terms of points total. I don't think so.
So it's more of total rather than goals.
Well, because
I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, it's an indication of the whole of like the whole oeuvre you're bringing, right? Like Austin Matthews has, it's impressive. The number of goals is super impressive, but he only has 37 points.
No, I know.
And then
I know.
Kucherov has 54.
Yeah.
MacKinnon is 48, and he's on a 16-game point streak as well.
I heard that little debate the other day, and my quick thing was, goals are sexy. They're the sexiest thing, but that's not the MVP. If you put up 65 goals and put up, 80 assists, then we're talking.
If he ends up being just a handful, like 10 points shy of one of the leaders, but overwhelmingly scoring more goals, then I think it's a discussion for sure.
Yeah.
But he's having a heck of a season. And honestly, that was a winnable game for the Maple Leafs on Tuesday night. When three Rangers goals go off defenders and Martin Jones has no real shot. Even Morgan Riley's like, sorry, bud.
You know what it is? It was puck luck. It wasn't bouncing. And that happens. We see it most nights in some games, if not all games. Some team just does not have it going their way. And that's exactly what happened. I think Martin Jones is a great goalie. I do. Not a great goalie, good goalie. He was signed to that contract, which is a fantastic one by Tree Living. High reward, low risk. Ilya Samsonov, I don't understand what has gone wrong with him. To me, he was one of the best goaltenders last season. But he just doesn't have it this year.
Well, they're saying it's mental. So you're hoping that you give him a break and he can get himself back together, because he has shown signs of brilliance. As I write fantasy for ESPN.com, and this guy has been so hard to tackle and analyze this year. Do I tell fantasy managers to put him in their lineup? And I have done that when he's shown signs of being the Ilya Samsonov we were familiar with. And then he just falls apart. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Look somewhere else for now, because he's just maybe game by game when he gets like a spot, a stream perhaps. Yep. But other than that, you can't rely on him. Martin Jones has been very good. And again, he basically, in soccer terms, the Leafs gave up three own goals, Tuesday night. And those are very difficult to stop, because you're not expecting Morgan Riley to score on you when he's your teammate, even though he did it inadvertently.
Last time I checked, no.
So if the Leafs can get through until, of course, Joseph Woll is healthy again, and I don't think it's going to be too much longer. We were talking 3 weeks or something like that.
I think it's not week to week now.
I think especially with the Christmas break coming up, and you give Samsonov the odd opportunity, but you ride Martin Jones. Martin Jones is a good goaltender whose experience has been around a long time.
He's solid. He can stop the puck, and that's what you need. Patrick Kane has not done anything with Detroit. Detroit is not winning with Patrick Kane. No surprise. Last three games, a loss to the Ducks, which is ugly. Philly, which we'll get to, is only 1-0. Carolina, 2-1. They lose. You have a win against the Blues, but then before that, three losses, Dallas, Ottawa, and San Jose.
It's bad.
I'm disappointed.
So am I.
Because I want to see Detroit. I don't know if we said it last week or if I said on my show, whatever. I just want to see the Red Wings. I'm not saying Patrick Kane's the savior and they're going to win a 10-15 game run. That's not what I'm saying, but it bugs me to see this, because I think they're a lot better than they're showing.
I think so too, but I've watched a few of these games, and Patrick Kane looks pretty darn good out there.
Oh, sure.
I'm not nailing the losses on him.
No.
That chemistry with Alex DeBrincat, it's coming back together beautifully. I don't think there's any issues with him. And I know there's other people who make the argument, don't mess with the sauce, don't mess with the recipe. When you bring somebody in from the outside, it's sort of, it jars the dressing room because now somebody has to sit out or what have you. I think that's a bunch of horse manure. These are professionals, maybe a game or two. And then, you know what? Pull up your pants and just get on with it and play the game. Now, I will say this. Their goaltending is bad. Yeah. And their two better goaltenders are now hurt. James Reimer is not good.
No.
He was okay at a time. He is not good now. I watch him and I see the team play in front of them, and they look completely unconfident. They have no confidence in their goaltender at all. And he's not giving them any reason to feel confident. And now they have Michael Hutchinson. So we're going to see how they manage with Michael Hutchinson.
Tell me how you feel about the goaltending in Detroit.
But positive. Dylan Larkin is back.
I know that was great.
Yeah. That's massive. JT Compher is back. That's also very big. He's a couple games in. So let's see again. Probably my third most disappointing team in the East. And did not have the Red Wings in the playoff picture by any extent of the imagination. But I didn't expect them to lose 7-8 or 6-7, wherever we are right now. Not after adding a player like Patrick Kane.
No, and I'm with you when I said about Kane, is he going to turn the team around? It has nothing to do with him. He is playing well. It's very nice to see how well he's playing. You put him on a better team, I guarantee you the guy would be putting up a lot more points than he is at the moment. Best thing to do about points, or to get them, one of the easiest things you think about in hockey is to get them on the power play. The Penguins didn't know how to do that. They thought, oh, we get the man advantage. Nah, we're just going to go 0 for whatever, 530. But they're finally turning things around. So here's my thing. What's happened? Did they have something to drink the day of the game, which is all good, all healthy and fine? Why? What's changed?
Same players, same system.
What's playing?
Us. We have been riding them so hard.
Okay, so we're okay.
Right. You know, one of them, I don't know if it's Jake Gensel. I know he's a big fan of the show, but one of them is obviously listening and going, I'm tired of Victoria
of hearing
Ryan
us. Yeah, okay.
Riding us so hard. We just got to put this back together. There is too much talent on this unit. And our last podcast was December the 12th. And that night, Jake Gensel scored a power play goal. And since then, in the last three games, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and this actually includes being shut out by the Maple Leafs, so that game wasn't great.
Right.
But the rest of them, they are now batting 37.5%, which is obviously unsustainable. So they score on the power play more than one out of every three times.
That's a lot better than the 0.9 they were operating at some
point. Or whatever it was. Well, they were 0 for 8 for a month.
Oh, I know.
Remember, a month. Yeah. And so, you know what? This is one of those swings and roundabouts things that we all expect. There's just too much talent. When you've got a player like Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Jake Gensel and Eric Karlsson and Chris Letang, when you have that personnel at hand, you're going to score with the extra skater. And they're doing it again. And you know what? You know what's crazy, Ryan? They're winning hockey games again. Special teams matter.
Doesn't that make sense? Put two and two together. Off you go. The names you just mentioned outside of Gensel, they're all Hall of Famers. They're all going to be Hall of Famers at some point.
Some people would argue against Eric Karlsson, which is absolutely ridiculous. He has three Norris trophies.
Who's going to argue against that?
Because they're like, well, he's not a real defender. But anyway.
Oh, enough. Enough. Speaking of, Dougie Hamilton put on LTIR, so he should be ready to go come April. But anytime players go on LTIR now and they make that amount of money, which is $9 million, you get that. The team does. So they have that to play with now. I don't really agree with that rule. I know it was the Kucherov thing that really kind of got things going a few years back when he was out for a bit, then came back for the postseason. The Tampa Bay Lightning were able to use the money that was still there and available to try to get other pieces in place. I don't know if I completely agree with it, but I get it. He's gone. He's not coming back. What are you going to do? You can't just have that a waste of a player and a waste of space in a roster spot on the team. But Devils have cap space.
What do you do? If you're the GM, what do? I know what I do.
Well, it's between the pipes. It's
absolutely
in that for me.
There's no question. So, I mean, you can make an argument for also because $9 million is a lot to spend. And you have to have this rule. I know, Ryan, I know there's teams that take advantage of it. But
John Gibson. Sorry. I've had this Gibson cough for like 5 years.
Okay. I wonder. I think he would enjoy that. Any American hockey player go out with a contender.
Let's just watch him
the other day. You watch him the other day with Anaheim. He already looks tired. Man, we're not even into the new year yet.
No.
So much hockey to go. And I think this would be a very interesting deal for both sides to make because Anaheim has to continue building. So you get him, you bring in him, but what's his salary? Do you have it in front of you? I'm sorry to put you on the spot. But I think it's going to be similar. Is he about 7? I think it's going to be similar to that.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that he is, I don't think he's at the 7. Is he like just below 7, maybe? He is at 6.4.
Oh, okay. All right.
6.4 through 26-27.
So he still has, so he's like, get me out of here. The sunshine's been great, but I actually do want to go and play with a contender for a minute.
Come on.
And then they actually have that little bit of space to even bolster because losing Dougie Hamilton ain't nothing either to just maybe bring in another healthy body because they miss some players on that blue line that are no longer with the team.
Yeah.
So to bring somebody else in that maybe can help out defensively as well, I still think this is a very good hockey team. Jack Hughes isn't going to commit too ugly turnovers like he did on Tuesday single night.
No.
That was ridiculous. He's going to call himself out for that. They're going to be fine, but I think they do need goaltending help, and John Gibson would be quite an antidote. My goodness.
Can you just get dealt to someplace so I can stop talking about it? Look, if the Penguins listen to us with a power play, then hopefully Anaheim's going to listen to us with John Gibson.
I think I first went on air with you on your show were saying 3-4 years ago.
And I said it back then.
And I think it's one of the first things we ever talked about. You are very much committed to getting John Gibson out of
it. I am. I am. I'm going to put a page together. I'm going to get, I don't know what I'm going to do now, but it's get Gibson out. GBO or GGO. That's what it's going to be. All right. Last one in the East, the Flyers. This is awesome.
What can
I don't
you
know
say?
If it, I don't know if it's sustainable, but it doesn't matter. Every day and every night and every week, yeah, they're not going to win every game. But Konechny and Sanheim and Couturier and Owen Tippett, we talked about Owen Tippett already, and they're doing it in goal. Carter Hart's been great. He's been decent, and they have some backups too. But
the Erson kid, though, the backup Erson, coming in for Carter Hart, who's been sick lately, and now people are like, Sam Erson, the new starting goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers. No, he is not. That's Carter Hart. But the fact that he's subbing in, I think it's a lot of credit to the defense out front as well. I think that team is completely bought into John Tortorella's system, philosophy, approach, whatever you want to call it. It's still funny watching him. After every game, Ryan, he still torts it. They could absolutely torch somebody 10-1. And somebody like, Konechny scored 7 goals. He was pretty good tonight. And he's like, oh, no, he's a fantastic hockey player. When he pays attention and concentrates and focuses on the game and tunes everything out.
Because
he can't just give a bald compliment.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that the compliment is followed up with, hold on, keep it here. Don't go up here yet, keep it here. I think it's great.
It's
part
working.
Of who he is. It's working. It's worked everywhere he's gone, no matter what you think of the guy. He's always great audio. He's always great video. And the Flyers are a great story in that Eastern Conference.
Do they make the playoffs?
Right now, I say yes.
I still don't. I still don't think so. I think it's going. I think the wheels are going to start to not fall off, but wobble at some point. I do. So unfortunately.
Okay. We'll see. We're going to go west next. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, Pucks and Seven. We'll be there.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payne and Victoria Matiash.
This is indeed Pucks and Seven. That is Ryan Payton, and I'm Victoria Matiash. I write for ESPN.com, mostly fantasy, but not only. Also anchor the news for a major Toronto news station. And Ryan, of course, consummate host on the...
consummate. That's not a Matiash.
No, it's just a regular word.
It's just a...
A fantabulous host.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
On NHL Network on Sirius, right here, if you're listening on Sirius XM, if you're listening on the app, he's on all over the place, but especially the Hot Stove on the weekend. Even before I met him, one of my favorite hockey shows. I always told you that. And it's the
you
truth.
Did.
And this is Pucks and Seven, as I mentioned, and we just flew through the East, and now we're going to traipse through the West and start with the Minnesota Wild coming off a very impressive victory on Tuesday night over the Boston Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard-fought W.
Oh, huge.
And a big W for one certain Marc-Andre Fleury, who inches a little bit closer to Patrick Roy for all-time wins. Second spot, nobody's catching. Neither one of them is catching Marty Brodeur. Well, obviously, Roy isn't, but nobody's going to catch Marty Brodeur for a very long time.
Well, you never know. Patrick may come out. He may say, hey, I got the itch again. he goes by his own rules, that guy. Yeah.
So, but Marc-Andre Fleury is 2 behind. He's got 549 now. Patrick Roy has 551. Brodeur has 691, so what have you. But he's going to get second place. I think we can say that.
Yeah.
M.A. Fleury is going to win a couple more, inching a little bit closer, and everybody is really enjoying it. Again, a great win. My only fly in this bottle of ointment. I really would have liked to see him get the chance to earn that W against Pittsburgh, his former team, the night before. And I don't know why John Hines insisted on starting Gustafsson, who's been playing well. Instead, when you're going to play both of your goaltenders back-to-back, why don't you give Fleury the opportunity to show up in front of him? The fans wanted it. Everybody wanted it.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed.
It was a script that was supposed to be played out. So I don't get it. This happens sometimes. I can't remember off the top of my head, whether it be hockey or other sports. Say a pitcher doesn't get a start. Well, that just maybe goes on the actual days of the week if they're pitching. But say it is, and he doesn't get a go. Or quarterback doesn't being able to start in the NFL back to his old team. I didn't like this at all.
Neither
Marc-Andre, I've never met the guy. I'm not questioning anybody's decision, John Hines. No, no, no. But the reasons and whatever was said between the two beforehand, they have their own reasons. But I just...
Okay. When John Hines was asked about this after the game, he said, why wouldn't... He said, well, we have this map from the goalie coach maps out who's playing who when. That's all fine. You can still make... Coaches also make decisions on the fly. Call an audible for crying out loud. This is a situation where both... We're ready to play. Both have been playing well. And it's not a bad decision. You're not throwing the guy a bone. You don't think the rest of the Wild... By the way, the Wild lost that game.
Yeah, I know.
So in hindsight, come on. You don't think the Wild skaters are going to give it that little extra without even knowing it, wanting to get the W for the guy where he started his career, won cups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Pittsburgh fans wanted to... Listen to me. I understand it's a business and you got to win hockey games and the NHL teams are in the business of winning games. I get that. At the same time, it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. We are here to be entertained. And we would have been, I would have watched that game. I didn't watch it live. I watched highlights later. I would have watched that game had he played in it, but I didn't.
Yeah, I agree. In John Hines' sight.
Oh boy. Oh no. Oh no.
Oh, come on. No, oh, don't say oh no. What? Oh, that was bad.
No, it's so good. That might be your best ever.
Yeah, I know. I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, you bring out the best in me. You had me at hello. You know what's funny about, too? Everybody loves Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's only 39, correct?
He's only 39 years old.
He's 39. Right. Okay, but some people may think he's a bit older.
He's a legend. He's 39 years old. How much enjoyment do you get out of watching Marc-Andre Fleury compete for you guys every night?
It's unbelievable. I mean, for him to do this at 50 is special. And, you know, he's awesome. He's a great teammate, great player. And you see what he's doing out there at 50.
Be nice to get him a win. Go get him in the third.
Nice for you.
Isn't that fun?
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
And that, of course, is Duhaime, his teammate, because I think everybody's getting sick and tired of the narrative. He's so old and he can still play. It's like he doesn't live in the local geriatric unit. He's 39. He's not 89. I get it. It's still nice to see, but I still think goaltenders, well, we've seen a history of goaltenders perform at a high level into their later 30s. So I think that I love that from Duhaime, just basically like, yeah, okay. It's tongue in cheek and, you know, having some fun. And I love it. He isn't 50, by the way. I don't think 50 is that old either.
No.
That's just
he doesn't need help going out.
Opinion.
Yeah, he's not being wheeled out to the rink whenever he gets a start. Anyway, he's great.
He gave an interview in the dressing room just last night after the game he won without his shirt. He looks fit enough. Thank you very much. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, I didn't really pay much attention, but you remember that one pod we did not too long ago where it was you had a really good 45 minutes.
We're gonna stick on the rails for this time.
Okay, fair enough. Edmonton, are they going off the rails? Are they on the rails? What's happening with them? They certainly we've talked about it already. They let go of Jay Woodcroft, and then Knobloch comes in, and the team starts to play well. McDavid heats up. Stuart Skinner heats up. The goaltending's great. The defense, everything's going well. But now they've lost three. This is a thing with sports that I hate. And if you're in Edmonton, you're thinking everything's fantastic, and now you're thinking, no, we got to blow the whole team up again because this team is not as good. Where do you think where is this team in your mind? Is this an 8-game winning streak team? Is this an 8 out of 10, or is it a few 3-4 game losses in a row team over the next few months?
No, I mean, to take the easy out, I think they're a combination of the two, and I think that's exactly what they are. But they're the most streaky team in the NHL by a long shot.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is even coming. They are either losing large or they are winning large.
Right.
And I find it so interesting that, Claude Giroux used the F word earlier, fragile, right? Not what you want to be called. And I wonder about their mental toughness a little bit when it comes to this, because losing is a habit and winning is a habit. Everybody knows that. And it takes the extra strength mentally to break out, because these are fantastic players. There's two global superstars who play on this team. Everybody's relatively healthy right now. You can't win 8 in a row and all of a sudden you suck. It doesn't work that way.
It makes no sense.
So they got to snap out of it. And that it will impress me more to see them snap out of this after losing through straight than the 8-game winning streak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
The Tampa and Florida 12-5 combined. They lost those two games. And then the Islanders, they lose 3-1.
And that's just not goaltending. I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
It's partial. I'm not saying it's not, some of it isn't laid at Stuart Skinner's skates.
Yes,
it is. But it's also... And if they start to become discombobulated again, like they did out front when they were just tanking every game,
yeah,
then they're going to be in trouble once more. And you cannot rely on Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and Evander Kane to score 3, 4, or 5 every night. You can't. Look who they have coming up. Devils, mm-hmm. Rangers.
Yeah.
Devils and the Rangers. Those could be, this could be a 5-game losing streak. And then they play the Sharks, who they have a good shot at beating, but that's after Christmas. So they're going to be going into the break on a 5-game skid. They can't.
No, they can't.
Knoblauch can't have them do that.
You talked about the inconsistency of this team, the most inconsistent team in the up and down. 39-13, they outscored the opposition in that 8-game run. In the last 3-game losing skid, they've been outscored 15-6.
So that's bananas.
Just as you've given up almost the same amount of goals that you gave up in 8 games in the last 3, 15 and 16. If that math is correct. Anyway,
and it's if it isn't, it's pretty darn close. But then talk about running hot cold. Just so anyways, they got to snap out of it. They need to win one of those 2 games heading into the break. They have to win one of them. They can't go in losing 5 straight. It's going to be in their heads the entire time.
When Joseph Woll went down with that injury for Toronto, I remember when he went down with that, I thought, where did the injury happen? I don't understand, you know, what went wrong with it and all that thing. It's like a freak injury. He moved a funny way. His skate didn't come out. His foot didn't move from the post and all that stuff.
That was awful to watch, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible. I thought it was a lot worse than it thankfully is.
Me too.
For him, which is great. Jake Ottinger, same kind of thing. A lot of these goalies just make these awkward saves, these odd saves. And what happened the other night against Ottawa and Claude Giroux. So he's out. Jake Ottinger, to me, when healthy, don't know if you agree with this, but we'll find out, is one of the best goalies in the league. I know he's got a bit of an attitude, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I know you do, but he's been able to back it up, and that's fine.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, carry on. I'm used to it.
Vezina, I know you are. I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
That's my New Year's resolution.
Oh, am I interrupting? Am I?
Stop it. Let Ryan talk more. That is honestly, I'm going to try, but it's just anyways, the head gets too full of the words that need to come out. Ottinger was my top Vezina cat candidate about a month ago. It's now Demko for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But so obviously I think he's one of the elite goalies in the league. Also massive, massive credit to the depth on defense, because it's just you're thinking, oh, it's Lindell and Iskanen, and it hasn't been. Everybody else has played really good team defense in front of them, so I think they're going to be fine with Scott Wedgwood for a bit, because this doesn't sound super, I know week to week sounds really scary, but when they say they don't expect him to be out that long, we'll see. I mean, Matt Murray is going to get a couple of opportunities here and there, but Scott Wedgwood has had a decent campaign, so I think Dallas is going to be all right.
He has had a decent one, but not great. As you're talking, I'm looking up the numbers. 11-7-2. That's not out of this world. That's not Vezina trophy winning.
No, it's not.
A 2.93 goals against. That's not out of this world. A 901 save percentage.
You're making a good point, because I watched him recently. So since this happened, he's played 3 straight.
Yeah.
And he had 2 impressive wins, but they were over Ottawa and Seattle. So now that's putting it in a little bit more perspective. So he's going to have to be the best version of Scott Wedgwood to get them through. I still think this team is built so well up front.
And
that loss to St. Louis was just weird. That was just a weird loss.
And my point with the Ottinger thing, he doesn't have to be great, because Dallas is 18-8-4. So you don't have to have these incredible numbers at the moment.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Phoenix Copley, too. He's out. LTIR, I believe.
Yeah, he's gone a little while longer.
Yeah,
I would call him the backup in LA.
Yeah, I'd call him backup.
Cam Talbot, and then you know who came in and saved the day?
Yeah,
big
who's that?
Save Dave.
Oh my goodness,
David Riddick is back in the NHL, folks.
That's one of the worst nicknames ever.
Because
it's
facetious and mean.
Why. It's terrible.
Big
like remember Red Light Rassico?
Yeah, that's worse.
That's worse. Really? Why did they call you that? Well,
I think Big Save Day was first brought in as a compliment. And then because he made some big saves. But then when he started to flounder a little later in his career, before he's now made this comeback, then when he's giving up 6-7 a night on certain occasions, they're calling him Big Save Dave. But he was good for LA. He was. Yep. He was absolutely good enough. And again, with the way Cam Talbot, I'm just sad for Phoenix Copley. He was really warming up after a little bit of a more wobbly start to the season. And he was starting to look like the Phoenix Copley we saw last year. When the Kings wrapped up. So it's a little unfortunate. Hopefully the LTIR is something just lasts, you know, not too long into the new year. Yep. And he's back at it. And for the Kings as well, because You can't play Cam Talbot that much.
No,
he
can't.
Hasn't played a full season in years.
Yeah. No, I know.
And
I
you
know.
Can't play Riddick really game in and game night out either.
No, you can't. So. You can't. A few things about the Avalanche. Number one, they lose to Chicago. Nate McKinnon extends that streak to 16. You want to set up the Devin Toews clip here?
Well, I mean, yeah, this is just so funny to me because this, it was a bad loss to Chicago. I'm going to say hand to heart, and people can believe me or not, I knew they were going to lose to Chicago last night.
You did? Why?
I did. It's just one of those games the Blackhawks mm-hmm. don't do well enough in. And they have been. You brought this up before the show, how inconsistent they have been. Mm-hmm. They have been a very good, ordinary hockey team for the last month. They mm-hmm. haven't looked like the team that won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago or whatever, no. whatever it was. They just haven't. And so what's interesting, but they still have a winning record. They're still winning games, but they lose this game to Chicago. And pretty much their number two defenseman and probably a number one defenseman on many other NHL teams, except for the fact that he plays with Cale Makar. Devin Toews, who doesn't speak a lot, had these scathing words to say after that loss to the Blackhawks.
I mean, it's self-awareness. We need guys that know how to play in our system, how to play our game, and know what it takes. And if we have guys in here, I think we got some guys that think they're playing well, and I think they're kidding themselves at this point. It's frustrating to play with, play out there when you got guys that think they're playing well and they're doing things that, you know, you have no idea what play they're going to make or where they're going to be on the ice. And it's tough to play in this league when you don't know where your teammates are going to be. So, that's where a lot of the frustration stems from.
You go ahead and take it first because when you did the scathing. Yeah, no. You do that because you already had the energy
you
going into that
do
one.
Not hear many players, especially the quieter types. We're not hearing Toews spout out, he's a quieter. I don't think I've ever heard him speak more than once or twice. Like, no. Unless it was interviews after winning the Stanley Cup. He is a quiet dude. He plays massive minutes. He makes that team so much better. He makes Cale Makar better.
He played 29:50 on Tuesday, almost 30 minutes.
So he played
half
an hour.
Unbelievable.
Really, he played half an hour.
Yeah.
So, and he always does that. He shoulders so much of the load. His defensive play allows Cale Makar to be Cale Makar. He is such a valuable. He's one of the MVPs on that team, without question. And you don't hear much from him. For him to call out his teammates for going, you know what? You're not doing this right.
Right.
You're not playing the game right. That is massive.
And you know what? Yeah. And it is. It is completely massive. And for him to... For somebody who does not speak very much, that makes it louder. That makes it more impactful. If somebody kept coming out all the time saying, oh, we have to do this. Oh, yeah, so-and-so just said that, whatever. That screams to me about the team. Again, to your point, it's not like the Avalanche are a bad hockey team. I think they're 4-5-1 this month or something like that on some sort of stretch. I don't think they play 10 games. Whatever. Anyway, that screams to me that they're doing more of an individualistic kind of play at the moment. And if Toews is saying that I'm trying to look where people are and they're not there, then they're not on the same page as Jared Bednar. They're not, not saying you have to do anything with the coach. That's not it. But you wonder what breakdown is happening that we don't see. Cause you and I can watch the games, but we don't really see inside the game. You know, we're not on the ice with Devin Toews. And if they're running a play or if he thinks somebody should be in this spot and he's not, all that type of thing. We'll see what happens with Colorado going forward. I think it was pretty ballsy what he did.
I like it. I don't mind it.
I did too. There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't mind it. Again, it's the ones who are quiet. And then when they do speak, it's like you just said, it's amplified because it's rare. And he obviously sees something out there and he's nipping this in the bud. And maybe there's going to be some bad feelings, but he's not doing it the last game before the Christmas break. They have a couple more to go. And especially some of those younger players. And I think I have a few ideas about who this is directed towards. And some of the younger players are going to go, okay, you know what? Maybe I am being a little lazy out there. Maybe I am not picking up my assignment the way I should. So, and I think this is a good time to do it. And you know, every single player, right up to Nathan McKinnon, every single player on that team is listening to Devin Toews when he speaks like that.
And it's great. If you want to be a leader in a room and a leader on a team, if this is one of those times you come into the locker room or do a media scrum and everybody listens and they do something about it, then you've done your job. Nashville, What do you make of the Preds? So what? Canadians, Flyers, Canes, Capitals. They had a four-game winning streak before that. They lost one in their previous four. So basically, it's about 7-2 in the last nine, 7-3 in the last 10. They lose to Vancouver. We'll talk about the Canucks in a second. They have Philly coming up next as well. They seem to be playing better.
They do look. And they do look like more of a team now.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, I think not just you and I, but a lot of people have already crowned the top three in the Central Division, Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg. I think a lot of people feel comfortable.
A lot of people have. Yeah,
and now you look at the standings, you're like, hoo, hoo, hoo. And I know there's a couple games. Jets have a couple games in hand.
Yeah.
Whatever. They still have to play those games. Now they're 3 points behind the Jets for third spot. They are 18-14 with zero overtime losses. So that's a true 18-14 record. Yep. There's no loser points in there at all. UC Saros is looking great again. Not so much the other night, but in general. And it just, I don't think we need to do a deep dive here, but
I'm just saying
this is not a team. I know we were all getting very excited about Arizona. There's still reasons to be excited about Arizona. And the Minnesota Wild can't be disregarded either, because especially if Kirill Kaprizov continues to score like he has been lately, that's going to be a different team as well. But we can't rule anybody out of that division except for St. Louis and the Blackhawks, as far as I'm concerned. Some people will fight me on the Blues. Come at me. I don't think they're a very good hockey team. But the other six, I think, are right in it, and I've been very impressed with what the Predators have done of late.
I've wanted Nashville to be better than they have been, and I do think they have the talent to do so. Forsberg, 36 points. Josi again. What else is new? The guy never stops. 27-32. Ryan O'Reilly, 13-13. 26 points in his first season with Nashville.
He's having fun.
Luke, don't call me Linda Evangelista. 4-12 with 16. I mean, come on. I just wanted to say that.
But you know,
so I wanted to say.
But he's worth mentioning.
I know.
Luke Evangelista. We're dating ourselves a little bit because
I know.
She hasn't been walking the catwalk for a little while.
I know. I know. You had to bring that up, huh? Oldie buddy goodie. Oldie buddy goodie.
Bring up some Ava Gardner references now.
Right.
Just to completely hit
For the next pod. That's for the next one.
But no, Luke Evangelista is one of their rising stars. And he has looked, and he hasn't looked out of place at all. So, and also, very selfishly, I really want to go and visit Nashville in the spring and watch a Preds playoff game.
Oh.
I've never been to Nashville.
No, me neither.
I really, really, really want to go. Everybody I know tells me I need to get to Nashville. I'd like to go in the spring before it gets hot. And I want to see the Predators play some playoff hockey. They have those funny rules that you have to be from the state to buy the tickets.
Don't even get me going on that.
During the postseason. A buddy of mine, he says you can still buy them off market out front. So there's still ways to get in. He got in there, but he was like, I'm from Toronto. Why can't I watch a Predators playoff game? And they're like, no, it has to be full of hometown fans, which I think should be illegal. But that's, again, this is a conversation for another day. But I will get myself inside that arena if I go down, I promise you.
So we'll do Preds playoff tickets and Ava Gardner for the next podcast. That's going to be our lead. We're going to pick and choose. Last one, Vancouver. I was, first of all, you mentioned Thatcher Demko as your top Vezina guy at the moment. Absolutely.
Well,
Thatcher
there's nobody
Demko.
Else. I don't even think that's an opinion right now.
You can look. Yeah. I mean, Boston's playing well, but that's kind of a two-man horse there kind
Boston
of thing.
Boston is playing okay. Yeah. And Shesterkin has struggled. Sorokin is playing better now. Vasilevskiy has only started, right?
So let's do Demko. You can say as well that Quinn Hughes is right up there for the Norris.
Absolutely.
Also. So that's two of the three big trophies. I don't know if Elias Pettersson and Besser and everything like that, but still.
JT Miller as well.
Yep. 22-9-2. Only 1 point back of Vegas going into Wednesday night. Every time I think that they're when they play the Panthers and the Lightning, they combine to beat them 8-1. Those are two good hockey teams. But every time Vancouver goes into a week, I think maybe they'll tail off a tiny bit, meaning they'll have a couple of losses or they'll have more losses than they will wins over the course of a week. They're not doing that. This is a really good hockey team, and it is, I think, sustainable.
I don't disagree with you. To me, they're like the anti-Flyers. I didn't have them in the postseason picture. I had them close, and I had them challenging.
I didn't either.
I had them playing competitively. But now, unlike with the Flyers, who I don't believe is going to be a playoff team by the end of the season, it's going to be very difficult. The Canucks would right now have to go on a huge tumble.
Yeah.
And I can't see that happening. And even while we're talking about Demko as a Vezina candidate, Casey DeSmith has come in and played superbly for them as well, which tells me two things. Casey DeSmith is playing some good hockey right now. I think he's allowed 3 goals in his last three games. Yeah. That's outstanding.
And that's huge, especially when you don't want to ride Demko to the ground.
And they can't.
No.
But that also speaks to what Rick Tocchet is doing there right now.
Sure.
So if we're going to talk about the Jack Adams, Tortorello is in the conversation right now, and Rick Tocchet is right up there in the conversation as well. I think those are the two that we're talking about
because
everybody is buying in. They're playing good defensive hockey, which for Vancouver has been a thing, right? And you've got guys like Besser going again that had stumbled of late, and everybody seems the only weirdness, and you wanted to bring this up because it's so weird, is the Andrei Kuzmenko thing.
Yeah,
what is going on there?
It's weird in the only aspect of this is a talented hockey player. When did he sign that new deal? Was it in the offseason?
Last year. I think it was last year.
So he signed the deal. And I think we talked about it. It was a good deal. I think it's great. I think this also says a lot about the coach. And it also gives the coach and the player maybe a couple of games to get himself back on track. Everybody needs this. I know the big studs don't. But I think everybody does. So whatever it is with him, if it's personal, if he's just lacking a bit of confidence, whatever it is, he has 17 points in 29 games. For the contract he signed, for the player that he is and how capable he is, it needs to be more. And I think what Tocchet said is, look, he's just not doing what he does well. So we're going to sit him again. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, to be honest, but I am a bit surprised.
I think you can healthy scratch a guy once. I think you can healthy scratch a guy twice. I think once you do that 4 times, you're starting to mess with his brain.
Yeah.
And that's in combination of demoting him to the fourth line. And this is a guy who came over, made his NHL debut last year, scored 39 goals. It bugged him that he didn't score 40. And that was what he was talking about all summer. He's going to score 40 this year. Well, he has 6, so he's not going to score 40. But to me now, if the relationship is entirely broken between Rick Tocchet and Andrei Kuzmenko, and he's either playing 7 minutes on the fourth line or is sitting in the press box, if the marriage is over, the marriage is over.
Yeah.
Right? If it's redeemable, great. Work at it. Go to counseling. I know I'm using.
Let me ask
analogies.
You something quick.
Go ahead.
Would it be more beneficial for him to sit or play 6-7 minutes on the fourth line?
Neither. I'd put him on the third line and give him an opportunity and put him on the second power play unit again. Again, I don't mind a healthy scratching here and there. Sometimes we all need a reset. Okay. You're just taking this one off. But four. Now you're telling him he's useless. So to me, you got to trade him. And I know his stock is super low right now. I understand that, especially for the contract and what it's worth.
But the potential is there. And you know what?
If you're Vancouver, he had 74 points last year and 39 goals.
Yeah. If you're Vancouver, you're in a great spot. Because if you want to potentially deal him, you can get some good things back. And it's not like Vancouver is they're a very good hockey team. So would he be missed? No.
He isn't missed because they've won the games that he sat as a healthy scratch. So we can actually, without
worse.
Reservation, saying that they're winning without him.
Yeah.
So, and another team can look at it, and I would like to see this type of thing happen, that go, okay, we're going to get the best out of him again because it isn't working out. It isn't working out with Rick Tocchet. So sometimes relationships don't work, and this is clearly, obviously, one of them. I'm just checking the contract really quickly. It's just a 2-year deal. So, I mean, you're basically, if you're gambling on him.
It's like a bridge.
It essentially is that. So if you move him at the deadline, you're paying him $5.5 million next year. I know that's not nothing.
No.
But it's only 1 year. And this is for what could be, again, a 39 goal scorer in his first NHL season. He's 27. He's not old.
Yeah. And you're not tied into a 7-8 year contract worth whatever.
No, it's a decent enough gamble, right? Yeah. And again.
Quick look ahead, running out of time. You wanted to touch on Toronto, Buffalo, obviously, anytime the two teams get together. Hey, Buffalo. Fire Donnie. No, let's go. Try to get a win. Save his job. Does anything happen if they lose after that game?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you fire the coach before the Christmas break now, or you just wait till the new year?
I think you should wait till the new year.
I think so too. I don't know. I just can't see it. The roster freeze has gone into effect. I know that doesn't affect management or coaching or anything like that, but I think the philosophy is the same. I also think that's why DJ Smith was fired right to start this week, as soon as they can do it, because you still don't want to ruin people's holidays. I know. It's a business.
DJ Smith was fired when Jacques Martin came on as consultant.
We have covered that.
We did? Do you want to do it again? No. Calgary, Anaheim.
I believe in the Flames.
I don't.
I just do.
I don't. I don't. Really?
Yeah, and watching Markstrom come out and win a couple with a broken finger, win one with a broken finger, I should say, but they won two straight. I really, really, really like that. It's just a game, again, for a game of gladiators, I just love seeing that. I don't ever want to see a player play hurt where something can be re-aggravated, especially an upper body injury or something with your head, but a broken finger is a broken finger. And just to see him play through a little bit of discomfort and pain and earn that victory the other day, the Nazem Kadri line with the two kids on it, the Zari kid and the Pospisil kid has been so great. I think the rest of them are going to get up there. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be a playoff team. They got a lot of work to do, but I do. but I do think they're going to be better, and I want to see them beat up on Anaheim and gain a little bit more confidence. That's why I'm watching that game.
If there's a need, and John Gibson, don't worry about it. You're going to be on your way to New Jersey. It's okay. Hang in there. Speaking of New Jersey, Edmonton, New Jersey. Edmonton needs this one. The Devils still need some as well. Edmonton, though, certainly needs a lot more of it than the Devils do. What a nice one, though. Vancouver and Dallas. Forget if Ottinger's out. Whatever it is, doesn't really matter. But those two teams, that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Well, you're watching two of the best teams in the league play. What else do you want? And it's on that card, it's a little bit later. And we're talking about games on Thursday night because there's only three on the Wednesday. They're fine. But the ones on the Thursday card is very intriguing. I'm going to do a lot. Yeah. Of flipping,
right?
Flipping with the remote.
I know. I'm just
people
trying
still
to
use
think.
A remote.
Yes,
a remote. Some of us do.
Right. All right. Out of time. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton at Victoria Matiash. Get us on Instagram at PatesRP and at Matiash Victoria. And catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the SiriusXM app. We're going to get one more in before that big day on the 25th.
Christmas Eve. We're going to do it on Christmas Eve during the day.
And then we're going to fire off some ones before New Year's. So anyway, stay tuned for that. Been a lot of fun. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. We'll talk soon.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.